The following episode of K-Boys was recorded at 12:22 a.m. February 23rd, 2018. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
We're done with all your little games. We're tired of hearing that we're too young to ever make a change.
That's Parkland High students singing their original song, Shine. Hi, this is Kay, Voice of Resistance, and I'm your host, Kelly. So, the Republicans passed one major piece of legislation last year. For the whole year. One. And that, of course, was the GOP tax legislation.
Tax scam.
The tax cuts for the rich bill.
For corporations bill.
They've laid their hopes, all of their hopes for 2018, on the few crumbs that trickled out from the bloated mouths of corporations and the rich, down to us plebeians at the bottom.
Please, sir, I want some more.
Well, it seems that some swing state voters, at least, are unimpressed. Journalist from Reuters went to Pennsylvania's 18th congressional district, where voters face a special election in March between Democratic candidate Connor Lamb, who is a Marine veteran, and GOP state representative Rip Saccone. And Reuters found that most acknowledged that they would keep more of what they earned, but that did not necessarily translate into support for the legislation or for Saccone. In fact, several GOP voters believe that the tax bill was no more than theater, or worse. One Republican told Reuters that he was voting for Democrat Connor Lamb even though his own taxes were going down, and that the bill was, quote, meant to show that GOP did something, but it was just to help the wealthy, unquote. And one local Trump supporter, George Smith, cut to the chase, saying, quote, it's almost like being thrown a bone, unquote. The GOP should be terrified by these remarks from voters, because this special election in the suburbs of Pittsburgh is already way tighter than it should be. This district is an extremely conservative district. It was vacated when Family Values representative Tim Murphy resigned in disgrace when it was revealed that he had urged his mistress to have an abortion.
Hypocrite.
Donald carried it by 20 points. Donald has frantically rushed to Pennsylvania to campaign for Saccone. But neither his involvement nor the tax scam seems to have done anything, as polls have only gotten tighter since then. Voters' unenthusiastic reaction to GOP tax policy in this special election echoes public sentiment nationwide. The most recent poll from Reuters Ipsos finds that nationally, Americans believe the tax cuts will help the rich and corporations over the middle class by a margin of 58-13. The poll also found that only 2% of Americans reported a pay increase from the law, and just a quarter of respondents say that it will make them more likely to vote for Republicans, versus a third who say it makes them more likely to vote for Democrats. So, ha! Suckers!
Neener, 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 neener.
It's really fun to meet me.
The Olympics has been a nice distraction, at least for me. And I know that there are tons of environmental, economic, and other politically incorrect things about the Olympics, but those are things I chose not to worry about for at least another 4 years. This year, I was happy to mindlessly watch. And out of the Winter Games has emerged a star. A star who happens to be one of the few out gay Olympians, Adam Rippon.
Look at Adam Rippon wearing his bronze medal. Congratulations, Adam. First time on Olympic ice. You nailed it.
I love Adam. Adam is fabulous. Adam Rippon does not hold anything back. He tells it like it is. He is authentic, bold, and unencumbered.
I've always sort of been unabashedly myself.
He has seen what society has doled out as male role models and turned the idea on its head, on its fantastic head. Can you imagine what a role model like Rippon is for a young gay kid?
Thought about like me being that young kid. You're 10 years old, you're gay, and you don't know anybody else who's gay, so you don't have anyone to kind of look up to. I owed it to those young kids growing up to say something for them, to make the journey easier for them. After the national championships in 2015, I decided that it was the right time. I think it just sets an example that, you know, no matter who you are or where you come from, especially in sports, you're respected for the hard work that you put in. And that's the most important thing. The people who came before me, they made it easier for me, and they made being gay something that you didn't need to be ashamed of, something you didn't need to hide. They made it okay to be yourself. I'm Adam Rippon. I'm 27 years old, and I'm a Team USA Olympic figure skater.
That is a video from Cosmopolitan. That is powerful. And the right is, almost predictably, none too happy about it. When they were not spreading conspiracy theories about victims of mass shootings being crisis actors, they are mad about the gay, and this gay man is both talented and popular, which has the right in a tizzy, especially since he possibly offended by Whitey McWhitepants Mikey Pence at the Olympics. Outsports writes, quote, "Many on the right are none too happy with Adam Rippon. Over the past few days, we have seen a concerted and seemingly coordinated effort to cast the openly gay Olympic medalist as divisive and downright un-American. Their goals? 1. Destroy Rippon's marketability by making him into a divisive figure so they never have to see his face again. And 2. Rile the base. That second goal is easy, as in Breitbart's enraged headline Sunday morning, quote, gay Olympian who bashed Vice President Pence, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't really matter what the rest of the headline said, because you throw those two things on the shoulders of anyone, they become public enemy number one of many in the hashtag MAGA crowd. Yet, it is the other goal, to destroy Rippon's marketability by forcing him into a symbol of division that isn't going to work. Unquote. They are crediting the only reason for his celebrity as being his criticism of Pence.
Openly gay Olympic skater Adam Rippon reportedly declined an invite to sit with the VP because he says Pence funded gay conversion therapy in the past, which Pence says is not true.
Ben Shapiro on Twitter wrote, if a Democrat were vice president, nobody would have heard of you, unquote. And good old boy Donnie Jr. tweeted in response to the Hill piece, quoting Rippon for saying that he didn't want his Olympic experience being about Pence. Quote, really? Then perhaps you shouldn't have spent the past few weeks talking about him. I haven't heard him mention you once. And for no reason at all, he puts 3 question marks at the end of I haven't heard him mention you once, which is a sentence, not a question. Too bad, Donnie Jr. USA Today already reported that Pence's team reached out to Rippon to meet with him, and he turned it down, bro. Besides, these trolls are all fake news to begin with. Rippon did not, quote, unquote, bash Pence. All he did was state Pence's record. And if that record constitutes as bad press, then that is on Pence, not on Rippon.
Snowflakes.
To review, Pence said the gay couple signaled societal collapse.
Oh.
He opposed a law that would prohibit discrimination against LGBTQ people in the workplace.
Oh.
He opposed the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh.
He rejected the Obama administration's directive on transgender bathrooms.
Oh.
And in 1990, Pence promoted the idea that we should use federal dollars to support gay conversion therapy.
Oh.
In not so many words. Rippon didn't even cite all of that last month. All Rippon said was that he disagreed with Donald's administration's values. He added that Pence, quote, doesn't really stand for anything I believe in, unquote, asserting that the vice president supported gay conversion therapy. Even Bristol Palin, Sarah Palin's crotch spawn, is all mad at Rippon. In my estimation, he is doing something right. The Federalist published a story claiming, quote, Adam Rippon's obsession with his sexuality undermines his achievements, unquote.
He doesn't want the Olympics to be about this gay controversy and Mike Pence and him being gay.
People on the right are obsessed with Rippon's sexuality.
We're here, we're queer, we're gonna do, what are you doing?
America has fallen in love with his personality. As Outsports concludes, quote, the one accomplishment these people on the right will be able to notch on their belt is to further drive a wedge between their corner of the political spectrum and everyone else. Yes, the base is energized against Rippon, as witnessed by a long series of vile tweets they used to pollute Twitter this weekend. Yet these folks will have to see Rippon's face for a while now, sparkles and all, because he's just getting started. Unquote.
Reason!
Wakanda forever!
Wakanda forever!
Mommy!
Mommy!
And you know what? Adam Rippon is not the only one who is inspiring an entire generation of a minority in this country. I don't know If any of you have seen Black Panther yet, and I promise not to give away any spoilers, but there is a character in the film who is delightful. It is a young black woman who is a tech genius, a doctor, and so funny. The screen just lights up every time she's on. They were my favorite scenes by far. And she is the character that could change this country, could change the world. And I'm not the only one to say so. Walt Hickey of 538 points out that, quote, "The volume of evidence shows that when audiences see on-screen representations of themselves, particularly aspirational ones, that experience can fundamentally change how they perceive their own place in the world. Black people have been historically underrepresented on screen, and black women in strong roles even more so. Shuri provides a sciency role model for black women, a group distinctly underrepresented in STEM fields," unquote. The character's name is Shuri, played by Letitia Wright, and she had this to say in Vogue, quote, "I hope it can spark someone to say, I'm not a superhero, but I can be a scientist or build the next spaceship like Shuri," unquote. As Hickey points out, for example, in a study titled, quote, "In Pursuit of the MD, the Impact of Role Models, Identity, Compatibility, and Belonging Among Undergraduate Women," unquote. In the journal, Sexuals found that women in pre-med programs were exposed to short biographies of five successful female doctors, and their interest in career and medicine shot up, that is, compared to the control group. And not only that, their sense of belonging in pre-med programs went up, as did the perception that their gender was compatible with their career aspirations. Movies can have an even longer lasting impact. A good movie changes the audience, and we have tons of evidence to back it up. After the release of The Hunger Games and Brave in 2012, both which featured women protagonists who use a bow and arrow, girls' participation in archery competitions doubled, according to a study by the Jenna Davis Institute on Gender and Media, citing data from U.S. Archery. The study also found that 7 in 10 girls reported that the protagonist in those films had influenced their decision to take up the sport. The first film in the Indiana Jones series caused a number of students studying archaeology to spike. Jurassic Park minted a bunch of paleontologists. And if you want your kid to become an engineer as an astrophysicist, show them some Star Trek. Movies can also have direct, immediate effects on more mundane day-to-day decisions. Attendance at the American Museum of Natural History rose 20% after Night at the Museum came out. U.S. tourism in New Zealand increased 23% after The Hobbit hit theaters. And Croatia's tourism business has been booming since Game of Thrones shot some scenes there. Or how about this? Drivers seem to be more prone to speeding after the Fast and Furious movies were released. So yes, more young female scientists, please. All right, and now for something completely different.
Senator Rubio, can you tell me right now that you will not accept a single donation from the NRA in the future?
I feel as though many of us may be growing a little weary of all this talk about guns. Sadly, though, no amount of talk will be enough talk until we have ripped the guns out of every gun nut's hand. Or at least the big guns, the ones that are weapons of war and mass destruction. One of the arguments that is getting lost in this whole debate, or at least it's one that I think deserves to be a little more prominent in this debate, a trauma surgeon who worked on the kids and teachers that were brought in after the mass shooting took place, wrote a piece for The Atlantic called "What I Saw Treating the Victims from Parkland Should Change the Debate on Guns." They weren't the first victims of a mass shooting the Florida radiologist had seen, but their wounds were radically different. As I opened the CT scan last week to read the next case, I was baffled. The history simply read, "gunshot wound." I have been a radiologist in one of the busiest trauma centers in the nation for 13 years and have diagnosed thousands of handgun injuries to the brain, lung, liver, spleen, bowel, and other vital organs. I thought I knew all that I needed to know about gunshot wounds, but the specific pattern of injury on my computer screen was one that I had seen only once before, unquote. She goes on to explain how the majority of gunshot wounds pass through. They are linear. There's only a few fragments, plus where the bullet went. Not like the wounds she saw in the CT scans for the Parkland victims. Their organs were shredded, or she puts it, quote, "The organ looked like an overripe melon smashed by a sledgehammer with extensive bleeding," unquote. See, should someone get shot in the liver with a handgun, it is a relatively survivable injury. But with an AR-15, The maniac doesn't even have to be a good shot. If it hits you in the liver, you won't even make it to the hospital. The bullet flies through at 2,182 miles per hour, and the exit wounds themselves are the size of oranges. I think this is an important point when arguing with amosexuals about their selfish, deadly hobby toy. Not all guns are created equal.
If the weapon is a high-caliber, rapid-fire assault weapon, it is hard to go into a fight against that if you've got just a handgun. That's not a fair fight. So get the assault weapons out.
But the reality is that we keep letting the other side define the terms of the debate. And they are crazy terms. You can't stop every death, so we might as well not stop any. A puckle gun is the same thing as a damn AR-15. Which is exactly why I think we need to stop trying to debate the hard right on this issue. Maybe on every issue, because they are intractable, absurd, and they are adept at confusing things. For example, during the CNN town hall, this moment happened.
When the Second Amendment was ratified, they were talking about muskets. We're not talking about muskets. We're talking about assault weapons. We're talking about weapons that of mass destruction that kill people.
On that issue, at the time, there were fully automatic firearms that were available, the Belton gun and the Puckle gun, and in fact, the Continental Congress reviewed a purchase of one of those firearms.
Does
for the...
Does it make it right?
Well, what I'm saying is there was more than just muskets available. We don't say that no one has a right to free speech because of Twitter or social media.
That you are listening to is NRA representative and mother who should have her children taken away, Dana Loesch. And Charlie Pierce sums this all up perfectly. Quote, first of all, neither the Belton gun nor the Puckle gun was ever a viable weapon system. Neither one ever worked, and the British Army gave up on both of them long before the Constitutional Convention, at which, I would guarantee you, hardly anybody had even heard of them. As for Latch's contention that the Constitutional Congress put in an order for a Belton gun, the overwhelming historical consensus is that Mr. Belton was a bit of a sharper, and the gun ordered by the suckers in Philadelphia may not even have existed. These are the kind of things that impresses Mrs. Latch's regular audience of paranoid shut-ins, but that wasn't who was listening to her last night. Second of all, who the hell cares? What kind of an O'Madahan throws out historical trivia, an inaccurate historical trivia at that, to win a minor debating point over a teacher who a week ago saw her students slaughtered in front of her, unquote. Conservative Supreme Court Justice Warren Burger said, quote, the gun lobby's interpretation of the Second Amendment is one of the greatest pieces of fraud. I repeat the word fraud on the American people by special interest groups that I have ever seen in my lifetime. The real purpose of the Second Amendment was to ensure that state armies, the militia, would be maintained for the defense of the state. The very language of the Second Amendment refutes any argument that it was intended to guarantee every citizen an unfettered right to any kind of weapon he or she desires, unquote. So spare yourselves the arguments with the Dana Loesches, Latches, Leshes of the world, and do as these kids are doing, and cut through the noise. Over the past week, the activism mobilized by these kids from Parkland and other high schools has been a force to be reckoned with. It is the most inspired I have been since last year's Women's March, and make no mistake, while I have no illusions about what the outcome of this will be, one thing is for sure, these kids have moved the conversation in this country, and they have made the right respond. Here's Rachel Maddow.
But if you saw any news today, undoubtedly what you saw was this. Miami Herald reporting tonight that this was the largest demonstration in Tallahassee, the largest demonstration at the state capitol in Florida in 20 years. We knew there would be protests today at the state capitol in Tallahassee. We did not know it would be thousands of people and mostly teenagers.
It was loud, it was emotional, and it was big. Some students walked out of their schools and walked 12 miles to get there.
I'm not here for a fight. I'm not here to argue with you. I just want to speak. I just want to see your face and know why.
We lose confidence in our government because we are told that nothing can be done time and time again. And we are tired of hearing that because we know there can be change in this country. Never again should a tragedy of this caliber happen in this country. Never again. And as always, be positive, be passionate, and be proud to be an Eagle.
The last kid. The last kid had lost his sister in the Parkland shooting last week. Florida is a large state, and when the Parkland kids showed up at the Tallahassee rally, they had to drive 7 hours to get there. And that was not the only rally in our fine country on Wednesday.
But there were student walkouts and protests today all over the place. This was Minneapolis, Minnesota. Look at this turnout. They converged on City Hall. In the Washington, D.C. area, students came from all over. Look at these scenes from, this is Union Station, the main train station in downtown D.C. So these kids all flooded into D.C. today, including all of these kids streaming out of Union Station to go protest. Kids protested today in Gilbert, Arizona, and in Parker, Colorado, and in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and in Stafford Township, New Jersey, and in Bellingham, Washington. They protested today all over Florida.
And then in the evening, the powerful CNN town hall took place. Over 1,000 people showed up. I remember in high school, when Columbine happened at my school, took the bold step of telling us that we could no longer wear trench coats. I grew up in South Tahoe, in the winter, trench coats. And I watched mass shooting after mass shooting, and I watched gun laws get looser and looser instead of tighter. And these kids, in one week, they've pressured Donald to order a Justice Department crackdown on bump stocks and propose tougher background checks on gun buyers. They persuaded Education Secretary Betsy Bible-Banging DeVos to buck the party line and call for congressional hearings. They persuaded the GOP-controlled state legislature to consider gun control measures once deemed off-limits in Tallahassee. The First National Bank of Omaha said Thursday that it won't renew a contract with the National Rifle Association to offer NRA-branded Visa credit cards after receiving complaints from customers amid an intensifying national debate around gun control. That credit card was called the official credit card of the NRA. And several car rental companies have refused to support them as well. So what is it that made this different? Why has this been possible? Experts on social movements say it is a few things. One thing is geography. The Vegas shooting was a larger mass shooting, but it was decentralized. The victims were from all over. But as USA Today explains, quote, in Parkland, the students were from all the same school and the same community. The victims and survivors were study partners, teammates, friends. That allowed them to craft a more communal response rather than suffering through isolated cases of grief and mourning spread throughout North America, unquote. The Parkland kids were all from one school. There's also the technology factor. When Columbine happened, we were still using beepers and payphones. I wouldn't get a cell phone for another 2 years. No Twitter, no Facebook, no Snapchat. The first iPhone wouldn't launch for another 8 years. This created a communication breakdown in Colorado. And with Parkland, we could see, feel, and connect to the victims and they to each other in a vivid way. And then there was the fact that the country witnessed it in real time. Quote, one student posted a video from the floor of his classroom, allowing Americans into that room to hear the gunshots, to hear the cries of those terrified students, even as the gunmen remained at large. Unquote. Then, of course, there are the kids. The kids at Sandy Hook were not of age to start a rally or a movement, and the parents were too busy protecting their kids, too. Immediately after the shooting, Parkland students descended on the news cameras to speak out, to vent, to cry. Marshall Ganz, who is a senior lecturer in public policy at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University and is credited with devising the successful grassroots organizing model and training for President Barack Obama's winning 2008 presidential campaign. Ganz also spent 3 decades participating in the civil rights and farm worker movements, and he explained that, quote, human beings communicate through stories. It's how parents teach children. It's how stories teach their moral content. These kids are articulate as hell. Their capacity to tell their story is amazing, unquote. And on top of all this, the kids are benefiting from the time we are in. It is a time of social activism. It is a time of anger and discontent with inaction and a government who will not listen to the people. The Parkland students are also occupying a space that has been largely empty in recent years, a grassroots movement against gun violence. Too many advocacy groups are headquartered in and focused solely on Washington, D.C. Ganz said, the country's greatest movements have succeeded because they worked from the ground up, from civil rights activists blanketing the South to LGBTQ rights activists fighting in state houses, city halls, and local courts. The NRA donates millions to congressional campaigns and spends millions more on national political advertising. Gans pointed out that the NRA wouldn't be nearly as influential if it didn't have hordes of local activists as well. Quote, the NRA has a base. That's one reason. It has 15,000 gun clubs. It can threaten any legislature in virtually any district. Nothing like that has been created in the anti-gun violence side. Unquote. Finally, they say, these kids have the benefits of youth. Youth has the ability to not take no for an answer. They're less jaded and accepting of the status quo. They still see possibility out there. Kids still think that they can make the world a better place. And you know what? They just might. And I have one more thing to add to this list. They are extraordinary kids. Smart, powerful, and motivated. There is a chance that they will really take things all the way. Because for the first time in a long time, the country is sitting up and listening. Ronald Reagan said that, quote, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, unquote. He's not altogether wrong. But it seems that they may be the ones to preserve it for us in the end.
I lost a best friend, who's practically a brother. And I'm here to use my voice because I know he can't.
I'm never gonna see my kid again. I want you all to know that. Never, ever will I see my kid. Should have been one school shooting, and we should have fixed it.
And I don't understand why I could still go in a store
and I'm pissed
and buy a weapon of war.
She's not here. She's not here.
My brother Alex was killed in the shooting last Wednesday.
We're all grieving.
This person who dies because of an AR-15 will be on you.
We've had enough of thoughts and prayers. We are coming after you. We are coming after every single one of you and demanding that you take action, demanding that you make a change.
This is not difficult.
I was shot twice.
These deaths are preventable.
My best friend was killed right in front of me.
Your comments this week and those of our president have been pathetic.
And the experience that I had can never be taken away from me, no matter how much I want it to be.
These drills, code reds, active shooters, they've been a part of my life for as long as I can remember.
Today would have been Carmen's 17th birthday.
We aren't trying to take away all of your guns, just the ones that are being used to kill innocent children!
It's hard to look at you and not look down the barrel of an AR-15 and not look at Nicholas Cruz, but the point is, you're here, and there are some people who are not.
Dana Loesch, I want you to know that we will support your two children in the way that we will not. You will not.
What are you going to do to strengthen background checks to prevent another tragedy like this from occurring again?
This is my friend who's going to the military. I need you to tell him that he's going to live to make it to serve our country.
Our kids have started a revolution. I'm proud and I'm inspired to be a part of Never Again.
Am I supposed to get extra training now to serve and protect on top of educate these children?
This is about people who are for making a difference to save us and people who are against it and prefer money.
We refuse to be ignored by those who will not listen. There are so many things you can do to become involved.
Reach out to your congressman. Mail, call, and tweet.
The smallest of words can make the biggest difference.
Be the voice for those who don't have one.
Together we have the power to change the world around us.
And I'm here to use my voice because I know
you're
not
gonna knock us down. We'll get back up again.
Thank you for sticking with me on this episode of K Voice of Resistance. You can stream or download the show at crabdaddy.com under the K Voice tab or on your favorite podcasting app. I'm also at citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice or on Facebook, where you'll find all the stories I have discussed and more at K Voice of Resistance. If you want to laugh and rage at your liberal progressive news, I suggest checking out the Crab Diving Podcast with hosts Patrick Vile and comedian Ryan Pfeiffer, 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. All right. Take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.